Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Jonathan Bruhl, and this morning's conversation is with Elaine Duke, Chief Procurement Officer at the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. Also joining us in our conversation is Dave Abel, Director of Homeland Security Services at IBM. Elaine, the seven DHS components have retained their procurement functions, and each reports up a direct line to their mission supervisors, which is referred to as functional integration. How does such an alignment benefit DHS's overall acquisition strategy?
I think the way it benefits DHS's acquisition strategy is the mission owner has the full authority. So if you think of the component head as really a commander in itself, then that commander has the ability to execute his or her mission and has the acquisition authority, which is a piece of what they need to execute their mission.
How then do you respond to those who believe that DHS should adopt a centralized model, going beyond mere oversight with the ultimate authority for all acquisitions under your office?
I think there's two things I can say about that. One is when Secretary Chertoff took over leadership of the Department of Homeland Security, he did a comprehensive review. You might have heard about it, 2SR, and it looked at this area and concluded that the functional integration model was appropriate for the department. The second thing I'd say is I really think that organizations sometimes end up being a crutch for performance issues, meaning some places will organize and reorganize, and every time there's a problem, they just reorganize again. And I think there's several ways we can improve our acquisition program that aren't organization-based, and that is building out acquisition, as I mentioned earlier, and focusing on it through all stages of acquisition. So I don't think this is DHS's acquisition challenges necessarily have to be fixed through a reorganization strategy.
Well, balancing the appropriate number of DHS contracting officials with the growth of your portfolio has been a real challenge. How many contract specialists are you looking to recruit for optimal performance? And to that end, what changes have you made to your recruitment process? Do you use a flexible compensation strategy? Do you use tuition reimbursement, recruitment bonuses, or other tools to attract and attain quality employees who possess the critical competencies?
Yes, this actually has been a challenge. I think acquisition workforce, building an acquisition workforce, is our number one priority, as I talked about earlier. And we actually had a study done in 2002 when the department was just standing up. And the optimal number of contract specialists from that study was about 2,500. And we have about 1,000 now. We're not sure. That study is old. We've had so much development. And we're actually right now undergoing a new study to determine what is the right number. But whether it's 2,500 or something a little bit less, we still are in the hiring mode. And we'll know that exactly. Number. We're using many different areas. At the top end, if you will, we are looking at a reemployed annuitant strategy. We'd specifically like the authority to use reemployed annuitants to mentor our younger workforce. We think that's a great way to take that knowledge that persons have built up through their career and plow it back into the government in a recapitalization type effort. On the younger end of the spectrum, we have a great intern program starting. And in the president's budget, we have funding for about 66 interns this year, and we're looking at building up to an intern workforce of 300 by fiscal year 11. And that will we plan a three-year program with over 400 hours of training. They'll rotate through three different offices, so they'll have great training, and we think that's going to be a huge effort to revitalize our workforce. And in the middle, we are trying tuition reimbursement training. Our Chief Human Capital Officer, Marta Perez, has been very supportive in working with us on the strategic plan for the acquisition workforce, and that has been very helpful to us.
So I'm going to change gears on us a little bit. One of the most profound events to impact the department, the government, and the nation overall in the last couple of years was Hurricane Katrina. What type of lessons it related to procurement and acquisition did your organization learn during that event?
I think the first lesson we learned was the importance of the advanced acquisition planning. When you have a very small disaster, it's much easier to, on the spot, send a team out and recover using the local economy. So we're doing two areas of better planning and acquisition. One is the people side and the other is a contract vehicle side. So FEMA has been very successful in putting contracts in place that will allow for initial emergency response, transitioning into local contracts for recovery. And that's very important. The second area is on the people side, is having a workforce that can augment FEMA's workforce or whoever is managing a disaster. And that's actually under a group that the chief acquisition officer from GSA and I co-chair, called the Emergency Response and Recovery Working Group, where we're training federal-wide contracting personnel to be able to augment in case of a huge natural or other disaster.
What's the status of some of the outcome from that organization? Are there things that are moving forward into implementation shortly?
In terms of the contracts piece,
yes.
FEMA has awarded over 70 contracts. The biggest ones that were competitively awarded were the IATACs, which are individual assistance, technical assistance contracts. There are logistics contracts in place. There are inspection services. One thing to keep in mind is the Stafford Act does, which is operated if there's a disaster declared, does give a preference to set aside for local businesses. So as we're developing planning strategies, we don't know where a disaster will occur. So we're at a national or regional level. But under the Stafford Act, we always will be looking for transitioning as soon as possible to a more localized strategy to revitalize that economy.
Earlier in the program, we talked a bit about the complex and large mission that DHS has to be able to implement. Since its inception, DHS has had some large, complex procurements like Deepwater Program or SBINet. Can you elaborate on some of the key lessons learned derived from these earlier large acquisitions and how they have informed your organization moving forward?
Well, there's a lot of lessons we've learned. I think first and foremost is that the government, when it has an acquisition program, has to have the full complement of acquisition professionals in place before a contract or an acquisition program moves forward. We've really been working very strongly on the acquisition model, such as it's in DOD, where the program manager is a center of the acquisition program. I think another lesson learned we have is the importance of maintaining the ownership as we move forward in a partnership with industry. And a third is the importance of contract administration. Because our contracts are very complex, very long, and we do have that dynamic mission, it's so important for us to make sure that we keep in mind that awarding the contract is really only the first step and sometimes the easier step in a contract's life.
Would you tell us a bit about your efforts to improve the systems you have in place to capture information on procurement actions? And in particular, does your department have plans to deploy a single contract writing software system?
There's two layers to that. One is within the department and one is at the federal level. At the federal level, we participate very heavily in the FPDSNG, which is the Federal Data Procurement System Next Generation, which is the official contract data system for the federal government. And that is something we participate on, continually improving with our federal partners. And I think that is key to making sure that we have accurate data throughout the federal government in the future. Within DHS, we are working towards implementation under we're actually under the enterprise system, so we're a piece of the Chief Financial Officer's enterprise system. But our goal is to have a single contract writing software system that both helps the contracting officers and also provides the management information.
We talk with many of our guests about collaboration. What kind of partnerships are you developing now to improve operations or outcomes at DHS?
Well, I think that within DHS, we have two groups that really are helping in the acquisition arena. One is our Chief Acquisition Officer Council, which is where I meet with all the persons I have functional integration authority over on a regular basis. We've formed a second group internally, and that's the Program Management Council. And that is actually to do the same, is to bring all the other acquisition issues together in a forum under a group that's focusing on building better acquisition in the big sense, or as Department of Defense would say, the big A sense, together and build a more comprehensive program management and acquisition program within DHS. And then at the federal level, I've already mentioned that I'm a member of the executive board of the Federal CAO Council chaired by Paul Dennett.
That's a good number of partnerships. How do you anticipate that these partnerships are going to change over time?
I think they'll change over time, not so much with the partnerships, but the focus area. So the Federal CAO Council has working groups, and those working groups change over time. They start up when something becomes important, like some recent starts within the last year or two have been strategic sourcing. Acquisition workforce is a huge area. And within DHS right now, for instance, on the Program Management Council, what we're looking at is one of our priorities is to have a program metrics system, an automated system. Well, once we get that in place, then we'll be moving on to other priorities. But the same group, some names will change and faces.
Sticking to the Program Management Council within the department, how exactly does it enhance your organization's processes and effectiveness?
I've often said, and some of you listening may have heard this before, that the key to a successful acquisition program is a strong program manager, that without a well-thought-out mission need, without a sound requirement, we cannot consummate a deal on a good contract. We just really need that basic. It's building a house without a good foundation. So the Program Management Council is both seeking to put some initiatives in place that will help program managers manage, such as I said, the metrics system, but really it's building that competency in DHS. We really need to have properly trained and certified program managers running our major programs. And then once we accomplish that, we need to have the related career fields like the logistics, test and evaluations, those other ones I've talked about, in place to fulfill the complement of acquisition skills in our major programs.
What does the future hold for the U.S. Department of Homeland Security? We will ask Elaine Duke, Chief Procurement Officer, U.S. Department of Homeland Security, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.